I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would like to read along with me today in the reading lesson. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 4, and I would like to read beginning with the 18th or the 8th verse and read through the 18th verse, which is the end of that fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Isn't that a great verse? Our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I will stop my reading there as we complete that fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians for a scripture lesson. I'd like to speak today about our temporary trials. I'd like to speak primarily today to those of us who are saved. And I want to use that today for a lesson title, for the sermon title, that being Our Temporary Trials. That's what Paul spoke about in the end of these scriptures as he wrote these to the church at Corinth that we have now in our Bibles recorded as the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. In the 17th verse, he said, for our light affliction. Now, Paul had mentioned things. If you go back and notice where I began reading, he had mentioned various trials and various afflictions. He said, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. He had mentioned things, that they had faced. And in the 17th verse, he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, I want to speak here for just a moment on those things that Paul said there, those two things that he mentioned about light affliction and about it being for just a moment. And when we think about what he said there, and if you study the life of Paul, if you study his missionary journeys, of course, Paul lived in the days under the reign of Nero. And, it was very difficult for Christians. It was very difficult for the people of God in the days that Paul lived. And he suffered many things because of his preaching. In fact, you may remember when the Lord saved him and sent him to Ananias, or sent Ananias to him, rather. He said that he was going to, Lord Jesus told Ananias he was going to show Paul how many things he must suffer for his namesake. And he did. He suffered greatly because of his service to the Lord. And if you study, as I said, the life of Paul, and you study the book of Acts and the things he says in his epistles concerning his ministry, you know that Paul had many trials in life and many afflictions in serving the Lord, and his problems were anything but light. But he mentions them in that respect. He says, our light affliction. And, you know, the Apostle Paul's problems went on and spanned several years. I mean, during his ministry, there were several years that he endured these things, that he endured the trials and the persecutions that he faced. But yet, in this writing to the Corinthians, he said that they are but for a moment. And so here's what I believe about that. I believe that Paul, in comparison to what he knew was ahead, in comparison to what he knew was waiting for him in eternity, he said, these things that I have faced here, although we may look at them and say, my goodness, look at the heavy trials that this man faced. But in view of what Paul knew was waiting, he said, these things that I have faced, these afflictions that I have had in life, they are but a light thing, but a small thing. And I'm convinced that that's what he was saying. And also, when he said that it was but for a moment, that he was speaking in comparison to the eternity that he knew was waiting for him. You know, you can go and read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when Paul realized that his time on earth was about over. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me, and not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so, you know, there's enough in Paul's epistles, there's enough that he wrote in this way to convince me that the way that he made it through the things that he faced was by looking ahead to what he knew was waiting for him. When he wrote to Timothy about having fought the good fight, he talked about henceforth or hereafter what he knew was waiting for him in heaven. And so, you know, I believe that he wrote these things that he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in light of that. Our light affliction, which is but for us, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, while we look at the things, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so Paul tells us in that verse, in those words, he tells us where his eyes were fixed. He said, I'm not looking at these temporal things. I'm looking at eternal things. I'm looking at, I believe that he expressed this in his writing to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And I'm convinced that the words that Paul spoke that we have recorded in this 18th verse tell us that he was looking heavenly, or towards heaven. He was looking towards eternal things rather than looking at the things of this life. And you know, if we never do anything but fix our eyes on the things of this earth, we are going to be a miserable people indeed. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that's exactly what we will be. And oftentimes, I'm convinced that even among the children of God, oftentimes that's the reason why that there's anxiety, and that's the reason why there's depression that exists among the people that have every reason to be the most cheerful people on the earth, is because too often we fix our eyes on the things that are happening here in this temporal life. Now, you know, granted, sometimes it's difficult. It's very difficult not to do that. It's very difficult. I mean, sometimes there are things that happen to us that are so traumatizing and that just are so hard for us that it's difficult not to do that. But if we will lift up our eyes to heaven, if we'll fix our eyes on that which is ahead, then I believe that we can join in with the apostle in the things that he wrote here, and we can say, no matter what it is that we are facing or going through, that our light, that our affliction is a light affliction, and it will only last for a moment. And, you know, I'm not really sure that we even realize while we're here how short that our lives on the earth truly are. I don't think that we really understand that. It seems like that when we, get older, and perhaps it's even, you know, perhaps it even takes us to the time that we're just about to die, that we're just about to leave the world, to realize how quickly that our life really did pass us by. And if we look at the reality of it, then our life here, it is but for a moment. I mean, it is a very fleeting thing. It goes by very, very quickly. And of course, the Bible teaches us that about life. What is your life? James said, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. And so whatever it is that we face here in this world, we have, as God's people, we have this consolation that it will not last forever. You know, you have heard the old saying, this too will pass. And whatever that we face here, and obviously that's the way that the Apostle Paul looked at things, and that's the way that he wrote about things, that whatever afflictions that he was going through, that they were very light compared to that which was waiting for him after that his time on earth was over. He made another statement, and I've always got a blessing out of this statement. The Apostle Paul made another statement that you can find recorded in the eighth chapter of Romans, in the 18th verse. Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us." And so, you know, Paul was saying in that, the things that we are going to face here, and you can be sure that everybody that lives will have their own set of problems. There are things that are going to be common to us all, but also everybody that lives is going to have their own set of problems. You know, you may have to face things in life that I don't have to face, and I may have to face certain trials in life that you won't have to face, but there are things too that are common to us. But let's remember what Job said, and oftentimes we hear this verse, or we may read this verse, or you may hear this verse in a sermon and not think as much about this particular part of it. But Job said in Job chapter 14, verse 1, he said, "Man that is born of woman is not just full of trouble, but man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." And so if we look at what Job was saying there, not just the fact that we have trouble in life, and not just the fact that we live a short life, but the trouble that we have will only last a few days. Because that's all that our life here is. We are a few days and full of trouble. And so when we look at what God has waiting for us, if we, as I said, if we do what Paul said to the Colossians there in the third chapter of Colossians, if we fix our eyes on heaven, if we fix our eyes on eternity, and we know that the things that we face here are short and they're temporary, and the joy that we're going to have in heaven is going to last forever, then we too can say that what we face here is but a light affliction. The sufferings. You know, listen, no matter what you do, no matter what you do in life, there are things that you're going to suffer. Things you're going to suffer. There's troubles that we're going to have to face all the days of our life. And when we get saved, you know, contrary to the belief of some people, when we get saved, God does not exempt us from the trials and the struggles and the strains of this life when we get saved. We still experience those things. We still face those things. And listen, our comfort, and our rest is not yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And so the sufferings, Paul said, of this present time can't even be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. The Hebrew writer in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer tells us that even Jesus made it through his life that way. He even endured the things that he endured. The Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the Savior of the world, the very Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, God in the flesh. He endured the things that he did, that he faced, by looking ahead. And in the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, speaking about Jesus, it said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. You see, the Lord looked ahead and he envisioned the time. He saw through the eye of faith, he saw the time that he would be seated at the right hand of God, that the cross would be behind him, that the trials that he faced here in this world at the hands of sinful men would all be behind him, that he would be seated at the right hand of God, that he would be making intercession for our prayers, and that there would be people through him, through his sacrifice, through what he did here and the things that he suffered, that there would be people throughout the ages of time that would come to him for the salvation of their souls. He saw that. And that enabled him to be able to endure the cross, even though he despised the shame of that, to see that time that was waiting ahead. Have you looked ahead to what God has for us? I'll tell you what, when you really start thinking about it, and you really begin to study about it, and you really begin to read the things that God has written in his word concerning his people and concerning the great future that we have, I'll tell you what, if it doesn't get you pumped up, if it doesn't get you excited, you may need to come up here and pray for a while that God would help you to get your heart right, because I am looking forward to the things that God has prepared for me as his child. And I hope that you are too. And I want to tell you today, I want to express my love for you today. I thought about this when I was studying these things, that I want to express my love today for God's people and for the church here at Fairview Memorial. And I hope that you can take this sermon today. I hope that God will give this to you today in a way that you can take it it and you can keep it and you can hang on to it, that when the clouds begin to hang low, when the darkness falls, when trials are facing you in this life, that you can just remember what the Apostle Paul said about our trials here just being a light affliction, about our trials here just being a temporary thing, about the fact that they're not going to last forever, but one day we're going to be way beyond all of these things. You know, I thought about people here in the church, even in the time that I've been here as pastor, that that we have watched them day by day, month after month, year after year, as their bodies aged and they withered away. They lost their strength. Some of them, it even became difficult for them to speak with the volume that they once did. Some of them couldn't stand and testify with the power in their voice even that they once did, as their bodies weakened and they headed towards the grave. And that's where we're all going, aren't we? You know, you may be young and you may have a strong body right now, but I'll tell you what, if you continue on, it's not going to be that way forever. In fact, it's not going to be that way for very long. And they, you know, we watch people die. Sometimes at young ages, God calls His children home. He calls us home at all ages. We, you know, we don't know when it's going to come, but we do know that it's going to come, because Job said there again in the 14th chapter of Job in verse 15, Job said, "Thou shalt call and I'll answer thee." And I'll tell you what, when that call comes, when God extends that call to me, I'm going to answer. And you are too. But, you know, we have such a great hope. We have such great consolation in the Lord, because, you know, those of our brothers and our sisters that we've had to say goodbye to, we're going to see them again. We're going to be together again. You see, when God saves us as brothers and sisters, we've got an eternal kinship. Not just something, we're not just brothers and sisters here in time. Listen today, you that are saved, you are my eternal brothers and my eternal sisters. And we get to, you know, we get to stay together. We may have to part for a little while because of death, but thank God we get to stay together for all of eternity and enjoy the presence of the Lord in heaven. And we can endure. I'm telling you, we can endure through the hope that God has given us. I spoke about this verse. I want you to think about this. I spoke about this at prayer meeting a couple of weeks back in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation in verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God, our Heavenly Father, have you ever had things in life that have brought tears to your eyes? Have you ever had things in life that hurt you so bad that it made you cry? You know, we have even had things in life that hurt us physically enough to make us cry. We've had things that have hurt us, you know, inside enough to bring tears to our eyes, to bring sorrow to our hearts. And I know that all of us here in this life, we have faced different types of pain. We have faced physical pain. We have faced emotional pain. You ever had anything just break your heart? I mean, just hurt. Deep down inside, sure we have, because we're humans and we face those things. But mothers and fathers, did you ever take your little child when they got hurt? Did you ever take them when they were little? Maybe they fell and they hurt their knee or something, and they were crying. You ever pick your little child up and hold them close to you and brush the tears from their eyes and console them and tell them it'll be all right and do the best you can to just love that hurt away from them? Sure. But you know what? Those little dudes, the next thing you know, they'll fall again, won't they? Next thing you know, they'll be hurt again, or something else will come along and hurt them. And we can't, you know, as earthly parents, as natural parents, we can't give them, healing that will just keep them safe for the rest of their lives. They're going to face things just like we do all through this life. But I'm telling you, there is coming a day for us as the people of God when God's going to take us and He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes, and we are never going to hurt again. I mean, when He does that, it's going to be gone. God, listen what happens. Listen to what happens when God wipes away all the tears. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And you know what the result of that will be? No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. These things that are now present to us, these present things will then be the former things. They will have passed away. Passed away. They'll be gone. No tears in heaven. No tears in heaven fair. No tears. No tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. Friends, it'll be gone. But it won't be here. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Let me ask you this. If you're here today and you're lost, wouldn't you like to go to a land like that one day? Wouldn't you like to go to a place like that one day where there will never be any more heartache, there'll never be any more pain, there'll never be anything else that will bother you? You'll be safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus forever through all of eternity. Wouldn't you like to know that you're going to a place like that? Well, you can. You can seek the Lord and be saved. And you can be like the Apostle Paul and like the rest of us who know the Lord. You'll be able to say, you know, these things, whatever it is that I face, they're but for a moment. They're just a light affliction because I have heaven waiting for me. And you know what, Sister Jeannie, when we get to heaven, we won't be making any request for our siblings that are sick. We won't be doing that anymore. Nobody will be saying, would you pray for my sister that has cancer, or my mother or my father that has cancer, or would you pray for my loved one that just had a massive heart attack and is in the hospital fighting for their life? I'm telling you, those things will be done. Those things will be gone. And they will be those things that have passed away from us as God's people forever and ever and ever. And what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thought that in a few days, heaven awaits us. It's real. It's real. And we are nothing more. As God's people, we are nothing more than one breath away from that eternal land of God. That's it. I'm convinced that the very moment that we draw our last breath here in this world before they can get the body ready for people to come and view, we will be with God. We will be with Him. We'll be safe from all the things here that have ever afflicted us. You know, people look sometimes and they look at somebody, you know, that has died and they say, oh, that poor person. Well, that's true for somebody that died unprepared. But I'll tell you what, if you do me this favor. If you look at my body one day as it slumbers in death, don't you look at me and say, oh, that poor person. I'll be with the Lord. I'll be better off than I ever have been here. But you that are not prepared, you that can't say that, we're very concerned about your soul. You need to know that it'll be well with you when this life has come to an end. So, you know, one day we're going to look at things from the other side. One day we'll look at the grave from the other side. And we'll say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It won't have any victory, will it? One day we'll hear the trumpet. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. We'll hear the trumpet sound, and those of us that are saved, we're going to rise up to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be forever with the Lord. Now, I've taken some flights in this world. I've got on great big old airplanes and flown to different places several different times in my life, but I'm looking forward to that flight with the Lord. I'm going to rise up to meet Him in the air and fly away with Jesus to be with Him forever and forever. I want us to stand and have a song. Those are the thoughts that the Lord gave me to share. And I as I said, and it was my burden and my hope that if you need that on a dark, stormy day in your life, you just grab a hold of that. And you just say, well, this is hard. This trial is difficult. But I'm going to leave it all behind. And I'm going to go be with the Lord. And God one day is going to wipe all the tears from my eyes. And I'm not going to face these things anymore. So let's stand and let's sing.
242. Number 242. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave His own Son, who yielded His life at atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, great things He hath done, and gave Him the light, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. That far and higher and greater we thank things he hath. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, praise Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.